Okay, so I happened to send Zach an article last night. He was looking into a particular aspect of Hilchot Avilut, and I'd referenced an article by the Rev, and when I look back at it, I noticed he had a nice discussion of the Akedah. So, I'll share it with you. So, the Rev has this idea that that appears in many of his writings, that the way that you relate to God consistently is like a pendulum, right? That the relationship with God is always such that you try to become close to him because, you know, you feel close to him. And what happens when you come close? You go farther. Why do you go farther? Because you're overwhelmed. Right, right. He gets this really from the Rambam. Right, this is not his own idea, but he makes a big. He's very, very. This is very central. So he writes. Right, I'll read you the Rambam first. Right, he says, "Hakel nichbad mitzvah lo. The great God, it's a mitzvah to love Him and to fear Him. How do you fear him and love him? When you really try to understand God's creation, and you see its wisdom that is limitless, immediately you start loving him and praising him. And a deep desire to know God better. Moshamar David, but when you think about these very things, what happens? Miyad you jump backwards. Right? And suddenly you realize that you are small and nothing. And you stand right as a being of minimal wisdom in front of God. And the Rav develops this extensively in Uvikashnim Misham. But he has a slightly different version of it in the context of the Akedah. Now, the Rav talked about Akedah in many places, but this is one of his treatments. So he writes as follows: what is the leitmotif of the strange drawing? I mean, the leitmotif, the recurring theme. Of the strange drama that was enacted by Abraham on the top of the mountain when responding to a paradoxical divine summons to take his son, his only son, whom he loved, and offer him in a distant land called Moriah, he surrendered his son to God. It was more than a test of loyalty that Avram had to pass, right? So a lot of people think it's about loyalty. The Rav says it's more than that. God, the omniscient, knew Avram's heart. It was rather an exercise in the performing of the dialectical movement, in the art of reversing one's course and withdrawing from something which gave meaning and worth to Avram's life and work, something which Avram yearned and prayed for on the lonely days and dreary nights while he kept vigil and waited for the paradoxical impossible to happen. And when the miraculous event occurred and Avram emerged as a conqueror, triumphed over nature itself, over nature itself, the command came through. Surrender Isaac to me, give him up, withdraw from your new position of victory and strength to your old humble tent, all enveloped in despair and anxiety, loneliness and gloom. Avram, take defeat at your own hands, give up heroically what you have acquired heroically. Be a hero in defeat as you were in victory. Right? So the Rav thinks it's not just right fear and love, right? But it's heroism and defeat, meaning this dialectic in general, Avodat Hashem, right? The active, the heroic, the loving, the coming close, and the fear, the defeat, right? The Rav thinks that is essential to the religious experience. And that's what he sees in the Akedah. Because what did you have? On the one hand, right, you had all, right, if you think about Avram's life, right, that's why I think this is a slightly, there's a broader perspective on Avram's life than it is just the Akedah. Because if you think about Avram's life, I think a lot of it happens in our Parsha, this is how God makes it. We talked about it a little bit last week, where God says, you're at the top of the world, listen to me, and leave your family's house, leave your homeland, and I will make you a great nation, etc. And then what happens immediately? He has to leave. There's a famine, right? Right, so this is a right. This is a constant thing where he's being granted sort of a feeling of victory, which then he has to pull back from. So the Rav said the same thing's happening here, right? For years, he didn't have a child, which is obviously painful and hard and filled with anxiety and the like, especially since God had promised him a child. And then he finally has the child at 100, and it's miraculous, and he's the top of the world, right? And at that moment, right, he's called to surrender him and give him up. Which brings him back to the despair, as the Rav writes, despair, anxiety, loneliness, and gloom. And yet, and then he says, right, give up heroically what you acquired heroically. Be a hero in defeat as you were in victory. Right, which is a great formulation, right? That's his life, is that sometimes he has to be a hero in right? He's a hero in victory, right? It's like the culmination of 100 years of serving God, and finally the promise comes true miraculously, right? You are clearly a hero, right? This is, you are at the pinnacle, and now you have to be a hero in defeat. And Avram obeyed. He realized that through this dialectical movement, a man attains redemption and self-elevation. So he agreed. But the Rav says, what emerges, right? What happens when someone is willing to serve God in the ups and downs, in that pendulum swinging, and he's willing to be a hero in, right, in conquering and a hero in defeat? What does that give him? What does God grant him? Right. And this is, I think, Kierkegaard influenced. He allows him to, in fact, experience, right, the miraculously improbable. Right. And then he says, and the improbable happened. As soon as he recoiled, as soon as he gave Isaac up, the forward movement, the march to victory, was resumed again. He received Isaac from the angel, and the pendulum began to swing to the pole of conquest. This drama is, and why does the Rav think this is important, right? Meaning, in that moment when he gives up everything, right, that's what? Dafka flips it, right? That's the moment when the angel gives him back. Now I know you're Elohim, and if you would continue the story, that's when he starts looking for a wife, but Sarah also dies, right? And then he has the story with B'nai Chet, right? And every time you're willing to give up, right, that sends you with emotion and victory. And every time you reach the victory, there's that pullback. Why, for the Rav, is this important to describe? And as I said, he describes in terms of love and fear of God in Bikashta Misham, building on the Rambam. And here he talks about this pendulum in terms of related things of victory and defeat, of conquering and giving up. So the reason is because the Rav thinks this is central to halachic life in general. He says this drama is reenacted continually by the man of halacha who is dignified in victory and defeat. The halacha taught man not contemptus seculi, but catharsis seculi. Okay, we'll leave the Latin for a second. Halacha wants man to be a conqueror and also to be defeated. Not defeated by somebody else, not defeated by a friend, not defeated by an outside power, for there is no heroism involved in such defeat. If someone else beats you, that's not a heroic defeat. Such a defeat, on the contrary, demonstrates cowardice and weakness. Halacha wants man to be defeated by himself, to take defeat at his own hands, and then reverse the course and start surging forward again and again. This directional movement, like a perennial pendulum, swinging back and forth, gives exhaustive expression to man's life and to halacha. And then, interestingly, when the Rav was originally giving this, he was responding to questions about halacha and mental health. And here the Rav makes an interesting jump, and he says, is this important for mental health? I believe so. Of course, I cannot spell out here how this doctrine could be developed into a technology of mental health, but I believe the doctrine contains the potential out of which a great discipline of the Judaic philosophy of suffering, an ethic of suffering, and a technology of mental health might emerge. What I've developed is more a philosophy of the halakha. How this philosophy could be interpreted in terms of mental health is a separate problem, one that is quite complicated. But I believe that the trouble with modern man and his problems is what the existentialists keep on emphasizing. Anxiety, angst. Man is attuned to success. Modern man is a conqueror, but he does not want to see himself defeated. This is the main trouble. Of course, when he encounters evil and the latter triumphs over him and he is defeated, he cannot take it. He does not understand it. However, if man is trained gradually, day by day, to take defeat at his own hands in small matters, in the daily routines, in his habits of eating, in his sex life, in his public life as a matter of fact, I have developed how this directional movement is applicable to all levels. Then I believe when faced with evil and adversity, and when he finds himself in crisis, he will manage to bear his problem with dignity. Right? So here the Rav is Mechadish. He doesn't have a whole worked out theory, but he thinks that the recognition and the internalizing of the idea that religious life by definition must include this pendulum of self-conquering and self-defeat, right, will help people weather the downs in life. The way he identifies it is that part of the problem of the modern world is that people only understand how to win, right, and conquer and succeed, and therefore every failure, right, they don't have the tools to deal with it. But if you think that you're supposed to embrace, I don't know about celebrate, but embrace the inherent ups and downs of life, the inherent success and failure, defeat and conquer, right? Then yes, it doesn't make it less hard, it doesn't make it less upsetting, but it doesn't kill you and, right, leave you down, because you've learned that the cycle of life by definition includes those up and downs. And from the depths of defeat is where the success comes, and exactly the moment when you're most successful, right, you often need to be pulled back, right? And that's what the Rav sees in Avram's life, especially in the Akedah, where God specifically ensures that he feels those two religious experiences, emotions, together. So that's, I thought, was an interesting insight by the Rav into how to view and frame Avram's life and what it tells us about halachic life in general, and again, the Rav's beginnings of a religious approach to mental health, as he puts it. Again, he doesn't flesh it out, but the beginnings, at least, of it, which I thought was just an interesting angle on Avram's life in general and the Akedah.